بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Greed and the desire for more, the desire for wealth. This is the thing that destroys the deen, destroys the very spirit of your Islam. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullahi says that when a person's heart is free of this want, greed, then the worst shaitan cannot mislead him. But if his heart is caught up with this greed, this want and this desire, then you put him in the company of the best malaika, they can't be of any good to him. The heart has to be detached from this. Heart being constantly stormed with these type of feelings, that I need to get this from this person and that from that person, sometimes it is asking, sometimes it is desiring, sometimes it is planning, how can I get this? Obviously asking, desiring are not permissible. But the third level, where you are planning and conspiring, I need to get this and this and this. This also is not a desirable thing. So the heart needs to be detached from all this. This want for more, this want for pleasure, this want for comfort. So the heart must be clean from this. Otherwise, the whole day and the whole night goes in planning and plotting. That I need to get this from this person, this amount of wealth, this type of property, this type of investment. So the whole day and night just goes in that circle. And this becomes an obstruction, it becomes a blockage in the way. Sometimes the blockage is so serious that it blocks your entire way. You go completely off. One person had to give a talk in a certain village. So he reprimanded them for their usurious dealings. So anyway, after the talk was over, nobody invited him for the meal. Like it is customary, Maulana gives a talk and someone will take him home and they will see to his meals. So nobody had taken him home. So he was amazed that I have delivered the talk, I have done my part of the deal, why aren't they responding? So he inquired, he said, Mu'ala, you told us that we all involve in usurious dealings, all Jahannamis and all that. So now what's the need of us giving you haram food? Our food is all upside down. How can we give you this haram food? So he asked them, alright, present to me your post dealings, how you'll deal. So they showed him how they deal. He said, no, it's all yours, alright, everything is in order, bring the food. See, this desire for this want, I want this. So in that want, you can make every compromise, everything can be legalized. And really, if you detach your heart from all this and attach it to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will see to your needs. At a moderate level, you do some business, not a problem. At a moderate level, أَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. But beyond the level of moderation, then as though you've shifted the goalpost. The whole goal was Allah Ta'ala, was his pleasure, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. So, the whole goal was to seek the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So now the goal has become the seeking of wealth, wealth and multiplied wealth, and wealth multiplied all the time. So that has become the goal. Now this is not something that is liked. The pages of the Quran Sharif is replete with all this. مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. So repeatedly the Quran Sharif speaks about this, that it is just goods of deception, just goods of deception, and nothing more than goods of deception. Hadith Fariduddin Attar rahmatullah alayh, Mawlana Rum rahmatullah alayh, such a great buzurg, great wali, and so many millions of people have benefited from his book. Mawlana Rum rahmatullah alayh speaks about Hadith Fariduddin Attar rahmatullah alayh, that we have only covered the one ocean of love. That was how much we could cover. That was our capacity. We could hardly finish one ocean. And he's gone beyond the seventh ocean. So his level of love is of such a high level. Anyway, his starting point was that he was an attar. Attar is like a pharmacist. So he had all different types of medications and whatever drugs he had. And one person, outwardly seeming like a faqir, he had entered the shop. And he's looking from one end to the other end, and constantly, continuously, one end, the next end, one end, and the next end, looking around. So Fariduddin is the owner of the shop, and he's got quite expensive stuff, very expensive stuff. Now, those days, they were using original work, no imitations, and no synthetic, it was all original. So if it was oud, then it was original, musk, then it was original. And similarly, if you had rose and gulab, then that was also original. So the original things cost very, very much. A little bit of musk, sometimes 100,000 rand, 200,000 rands. What we get is diluted, but now you're getting the original thing. But Fariduddin saw this faqir, and he says to this faqir, but if you need to buy something, buy it, otherwise leave. So the faqir turned around and told him, see, I'm just wondering how your soul will depart your body. So he got even more worked up, and he says, my soul will leave like how your soul will leave. You're wondering about my soul. Then just as your soul will leave the body, then my soul will leave the body as well in the same way. So the faqir tells him, do you know how my soul will leave the body? He says, no. Is my soul leave the body in this way? Okay. He asked for the Qibla direction, read 2 rakat namaz, and then he lied down towards the Qibla and said, La ilaha illallah. And there his soul departed. So easily his soul departed. This faqir told him, you see, I am worried how your soul will leave the body, because when I see your soul, I see your heart is stuck up in so many bottles. Sometimes it is stuck in the oud bottle, sometimes in this wealth, sometimes in that property, in this investment. Everywhere it's stuck, your heart is stuck there, your mind is stuck there. So when it is your time to depart from this world, your heart will have to be, and your soul will have to be pulled out and extracted from everything. From this, and from that wealth, and this property, and this commodity, it'll have to be extracted. And my soul, though, this is how it will leave. Because my heart is not stuck into anything. So the idea is that the heart must not be stuck into anything. Not anything. We have been born for Allah Ta'ala, illa liya'budun, then the only right thing is to detach our minds, our hearts from everything else and attach it to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, where it belongs to. It belongs to Allah Ta'ala. We do say that inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Him. So when we say that we belong to Him, then do we really mean that, or it is just a lip service that we say that Allah Ta'ala, we belong to You? If we really belong to Allah Ta'ala, then our hearts must be there. Our hearts can't be anywhere else. If your wife tells you that she belongs to you, then she needs to be with you in the thick and the thin. Everything, she must be with you. Right? But she says that she's with you, and she's got other friends, boyfriends or whatever else, and whoever else she's got, then she's not true in her claim that she is with you. She's not true in that. Had she been true in that claim, then she wouldn't have been behaving like this. She wouldn't have been behaving like how she's behaving. She's true in what she's behaving, then the heart is only with you. It's not anywhere else. Like you make this demand from your wife, then Allah Ta'ala is also making that similar demand. And when you say that you belong to me, then your heart must be with me, your mind must be with me, your soul must be with me, your spirit must be with me, your desires must be with me. You must think of what I desire. You must think of what I like. You must think of what I want. You must think of what is my goal. But if your goal is something else, and I am asking for something else, then there is a conflict of interest. So the heart to be detached from everything else, and to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that actual ghina. You want to say ghina? So this is what is meant by ghina, that the heart is not attached to anything else but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Buzurgan ad-Din, they worked on themselves. They worked on themselves and they ensured that their heart was not attached to anything else. One student was by his ustad, by his teacher, and he noticed that the teacher was going through some starvation because weak, he's walking and very sluggish walk. So he made out that the ustad hadn't been eating recently. So when he saw and he perceived the weakness in the ustad, he got up, went home straight, and he got a whole tray of food and presented it before the ustad. Ustad refused and he says, "You see, when you left the room, then I made out that you were going to fetch something because you saw the weakness in me. And you made out somehow that I haven't been eating. Right? So you made out that I didn't have the food. And when you left, I made out, okay, you are going to fetch food for me. So my heart was desirous, my heart got attached to you. Now when my heart got attached to you, then this is one type of ishraf. The heart is asking. The soul is asking, it's begging. The heart is not to Allah Ta'ala now, it's with people. Whereas the heart was supposed to be with Allah Ta'ala, now the heart has shifted from Allah Ta'ala, it's shifted to you. Now for me to eat this would not be right." So the student was quite intelligent, quite clever and brilliant. He didn't object, he didn't complain anything. He picked up the tray and he left. And after 5 minutes or so, he came back with the tray. And he says to the ustad, "Now eat the food." So the ustad said, "Now I've got no problem now. Because once the food had gone, so my mind was clear that now the food is gone. Now you brought it, was unexpected. My heart wasn't behind it. My heart wasn't attached to it. It wasn't attached to it, so now this food is proper for you. It's halal, it's pure, it's clean for you. But before this, this food wasn't the most suitable thing for me. Although I was going through some spells of starvation, but it wasn't the most best thing for me because my heart was attached to it already." So these Buzurgan ad-Din, they had worked towards this. That the hearts mustn't be attached to anything else. Otherwise the whole period of i'tikaf goes, sometimes it may not be haram, the thoughts and your aspirations may not be totally haram, but definitely it will be undesirable. So now you're sitting here and you think, "Hey, if they only bring some pies today, and with the pie they must bring that red chutney, you know, it will go very well. You know that other pie, they got some sausage inside and whatever, that type of pie they must bring." So now your mind is working on that pie. "Hey, that pie is coming. Maybe she just forgets, she doesn't do it. Let me just sell for her." Then your mind is going on, the whole namaz is going on, I need to phone about that pie, because they got that pie, they must just send it, you know. So The whole namaz is going on that pile. After the namaz is over, immediately you are telling, hey, don't forget that. Now you see the whole namaz is gone, the spirit of that ibadah is gone, is affected, because your heart is attached to this. When your heart is attached to it, now you can't concentrate. You can't focus like how you're supposed to be focusing. So this is the whole idea, that your heart becomes detached from everything, and it is attached only to where it belongs to. It becomes linked up only to where it belongs to. And when your heart is like that, then you will find and you will experience an inner satisfaction, inner happiness. But you have to bring and you have to train your mind like that. Your mind can't be wandering around all the time in circles. You need to ask yourself and tell yourself, I can't be like a monkey jumping from one to the other. They're also jumping from one desire to the other desire, isn't it? He saw the monkey, saw an orange here, he's jumping for that. The other end, he saw some apple there, he's taking that. How much he can take? He can only take a little, so much. They say about the monkey in India, that he cleans the whole field, but he only has one stick of sugar cane. So that thing, took one, and he went for the other one. So he took one, and put it under its arm. He put it under its arm, he saw the other sugar cane, it went to reach for that sugar cane. In the meanwhile, the first one that it got, that thing fell off. Then it went for the third one, and the second one it put under its arm again. When it went for the third one, it went to pick that thing got. By the end of the day, that thing is thinking, hey, I got so much sugar cane. When it opens its arm, only one sugar cane it's got. So that's the world, you see, that's the world that we live in. We'll only eat so much, we'll only take so much. The rest of it is just dreams. It's just dreams, fantasy. Hey, I got this, I got that, whatever else. It's just dreams and fantasies. So what we are chasing behind is just fantasies and dreams. So when we have got, Allah has given something suitable, something that we can comfortably continue our lives, then we don't look at the dream again. Don't carry on looking at the dream. How much I can multiply. Shaitan will do his part. What he will do is, Mawlana, you know what? You need to make another investment, because that investment then you can give the madrasa, you can give the masjid, you can give property, you can give poor people. Yeah. So he will put your mind in a circle. So you got enough, but enough, sufficient. Right. Sufficient, then don't put your mind in a circle. If it's supposed to come to you, it'll come to you. Whether you like it or not, it'll come. It'll come begging to your door, by please take me. That wealth will come begging to you, that do take me. You're not supposed to be chasing it. If it was meant for you, it will come. You got a reasonable amount, must carry on. Now you must reason to yourself, Allah Pak has created us for Himself. When He's created us for Himself, then our hearts, our minds need to be attached to Him. Now, when He's given us so much, then too we don't detach our heart from all these things here and don't attach it to Allah Ta'ala. Will it be fair? You want the attention of your wife, right? You come home and you want the attention of your family. And she is worried about all her friends phoning here, there, that auntie here and this auntie, whatever else. Do you appreciate that? No, you have given her everything, all the comfort. She had enough time for all that, right? But then when you are there, then you want personal attachment. When you want personal attachment and she is speaking to all her friends at that time, do you appreciate that? You don't appreciate that. So Allah Ta'ala wants your heart for Himself. He doesn't want your heart to be absorbed in every other contact, in every other relationship, in everything else. And you're giving your heart to this, you're giving your heart to that. But are you fair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think to yourself, are you fair to Allah? He's given you so much. Have you shown that amount of appreciation? Have you shown the type of attachment? Like the husband has given so much to the wife, given her all the investment, everything is given her. Then too, she doesn't give that type of attention. How the husband feels? How does he feel? He feels, no, I'm betrayed. I've given her so much, but she doesn't give me the attention that I want. She doesn't give me that type of attention, that type of respect that I would desire. So exactly the same, Allah Ta'ala wants your attention. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. So in order to be able to do that, you need to cut your heart out from everything that is not related. Not important. You got enough, sufficient, alhamdulillah, days are moving, you've got a shirt over your head, you are mobile, right? You've got food, you've got some security, you know, what else do you need? You've got shelter, you've got food, you've got clothing, you are mobile, what else do you need? You don't need anything more than that. But if you say, no, I need this, then that necessity becomes, not that need, the desire becomes a necessity. First it's a desire, but the desire we don't realize, when we just leave it unattended, then that desire, that comfort becomes a need. You can't do without it. See, like a cigarette, for example. First you just took it as a comfort, you know. Just chill off, you know, just throw it down a little bit. So, and after that, that becomes a need. Then you can't do without it. Without that thing, you can't sleep. But if you go and examine that thing, really, it wasn't a need. It was just a comfort. But when you made yourself dependent on that thing, now you can't do without it. So the same law applies to everything else of the world. So now I need this, then it becomes a need. It was a desire, it was just a comfort. But when you brought it to the level of a daily requirement, then it becomes a need. Then you can't do without it. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, that our heart becomes detached from everything else and attached to His Mubarak Zat.